guests tuned to yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host Mark Levenier for an hour of science fiction, great pictures to see in your theater of the mind, in an era before space travel, with stories set against that backdrop. Later on, we'll hear 2000 Plus with A Rocket and the Skull, but right now it's the Ray Bradbury story Kaleidoscope on Suspense. Starring William Conrad, this July 12, 1955 broadcast first heard on CBS.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, we depart from the usual to bring you a play from one of the greatest authors of science fiction, Mr. Ray Bradbury. It is the story of a last voyage in a spaceship and the six men who took it. So now, starring Mr. William Conrad, here is tonight's suspense play, Kaleidoscope.
She was a spaceship cargo carrier, 7 years old, with over 1.5 miles lost in her wake. Within her metallic skin was the world of the crew, an atom of life surrounded by a vast expanse of nothingness. The ship and the crew were owned by the company, a third-class vessel operated by third-class personnel, and each of us hoping that in our day would come promotion to second class, or even to first, and the great hushed passenger liners, which were also owned by the company. The company ran everything. There wasn't anyone else to work for. And you accepted what was given, not gratefully, but with hope. There were 19 of us to begin with on a routine voyage. Our cargo, seasoned lumber. I was at control on the second day out. Stone navigating.
On the nose.
Good. Control, bearing mark, Captain.
Right.
Hollis, where's the captain?
In his cabin.
On the bottle again, huh?
Why don't you ask him?
I don't have to, Stoney. I can smell him all the way out.
You want something, Applegate?
Sea tube's blowing again.
It isn't showing on the indicator.
I can't help that.
Wait a minute. Captain, control.
Yeah.
Applegate reports sea tube blowing, sir.
Oh?
It doesn't show on the indicator, sir.
All right. I'll be right there.
Now, what was the idea of that?
What?
Telling him it didn't show. You trying to louse me up?
You better keep check on that tube.
Who's giving orders?
I am.
Marsage to you, friend.
Oh, come on, Applegate. I don't want to blow up. I've got 2 weeks of pay coming when we get back.
Yeah, give me a power check, will you?
Sure.
Something must be haywire with the indicator.
Get it straightened out, Hollis.
She's not firing in sequence, sir. Heating up, too.
Let me see. I don't like this. Rockets, here's the captain.
Stimson, sir. It's sea tube, I think. Heating the others, too. Lockoff's frozen.
Use emergency.
Stand by.
Come on, come on.
Control, this is Applegate. Emergency doesn't answer. It's getting too hot.
Maybe it'll answer from here, sir.
Applegate, get your men out of there. Stand by to abandon.
She's going, sir. Shall I sound the alarm?
Yes. This is the captain. This is the captain. Get into your suits. You've got about 2 minutes, maybe less. Get into your suits. The ship is going to explode. Get into your suits. Abandon. Abandon. Get into your suits. Get into your suits.
The concussion cut the spaceship up the side like a giant can opener. Those of us who weren't immediately killed were thrown into space like wriggling silverfish, scattered into a dark sea. And the ship, in 1,000,000 pieces, went on, a meteor swarm seeking a lost sun.
Captain! Stone! Captain, where are you? Is that
the sound of our voices calling like lost children on a cold night.
Captain!
Who called?
Hollis. Hollis, this is Stone.
Hello!
Stone! Stone, this is Hollis. Where are you?
I don't know. How can I? Which way is up? I'm falling.
Oh, God, I'm falling.
We're going away from each other.
Who is that? This is the captain. Who is that?
Lester.
Captain.
Where are you?
Captain. Where?
We were hurtling in space in every direction. And now, instead of men, there were only voices. Voices communicating by radio phone. All kinds of voices, disembodied and impassioned in varying degrees of terror and resignation, all moving away from one another. We were wearing our sealed tight spacesuits with glass tubes over our faces, but there hadn't been time to lock on the propulsion units. Not time enough. And without them, we were meteors, senseless, each going to a separate and irrevocable fate.
This is the captain. I want a roll call. Who is that?
This is Applegate, sir.
Applegate. Next.
Lespierre.
Who?
Lespierre.
Stimson.
Lespierre. Stimson.
Stone.
Hollis.
Anybody else? Anyone else?
Stone to Hollis. How long can we talk by phone?
Well, it depends on how fast you're going your way and I'm going mine.
An hour, I make it. What happened?
The rocket blew up. Didn't you feel it? That's all. Rockets do blow up. Which way are you going?
It looks like I'll hit the moon.
Well, it's Earth for me.
That's nice.
Back to old Mother Earth at 10,000 miles an hour. I'll burn like a match when I hit the atmosphere. Well, Stone's going to the moon. I know where I'd like to see Applegate go.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die. It's a long way down.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Stimson, I think. Stimson, is that you? This is Hollis.
It's a long, long way, and I don't like it. I don't like
Stimson,
it.
Stimson, this is Hollis. Stimson, do you hear me? Stimson?
Yes?
You take it easy now.
I don't want to be
here.
We're
all in the same fix.
I don't want to be here. I'm afraid.
There's a chance we'll be found.
I heard that. Oh, what a liar you are, Hollis.
You shut up, Applegate.
But come and make me. Come on, Hollis. Come and make me shut up.
I don't believe this. I don't believe any of this is happening. Not to me. It's a bad dream.
Now, take it easy, Stimson.
Hey, you know, I don't feel so bad.
Who's that?
It's me, Stone Lespierre. I was just thinking. I've had a pretty good time. Lots of good time. Hey, did I ever tell you about my wife?
Which one?
Who's that?
Applegate.
Oh, sure. How do you feel, Applegate?
Oh, why don't you shut up?
No kidding. About my wife, the one on Mars. Did I ever tell you?
That's enough. This is the captain. We've got to figure a way out of this. Make a plan.
My sash to you, Captain.
What did you say?
Oh, you heard me. Don't try pulling rank on me. You're 10,000 miles away by now.
You listen to me, Applegate.
Consider this a mutiny of one, Captain. Hang me. Kill me. Look, I want to tell you something. Your ship was a bad ship, and you were a bad captain, and I hope you break wherever you're going.
I'm ordering you to stop, Applegate.
Be my guest. Order me some more. You're going to put me in chains till we land? Marsage to you, Captain.
Hey, fellas, let me tell you about my wife, the one on Venus. It doesn't matter now. I guess anybody can know now. Oh, listen, I had it real good. One wife on Mars, another on Venus, one on Jupiter. Oh, boy, what a time. Hey, Stone.
Yeah?
Remember the time we put into Marsport for repairs?
I remember.
Well, that's when I met the first one. You know what those Mars girls are like. Well...
Lespierre went on and on with his talk about his wives. An interplanetary bigamist. His money, his wonderful times, drunkenness, gambling. On and on, while we fell in space away from each other. Lespierre reminiscing on the past, happy while he fell to his death. It was very odd. Space. Thousands of miles of space and the voice vibrating in the center of it. No one visible at all, only the radio waves quivering and trying to quicken other men into emotion.
I tell you, when a man's had a life like I've had, it's not so bad. Not much left for me to do, I guess.
Men, this is the captain. I want you to know that I'm very grateful for your loyalty. You've been a good crew. Hollis, Stone, If you get out of this, I had you both posted for a promotion. It'll go through when you report. Applegate, I wish that...
Captain? Captain?
10-1, a meteorite got him. Any takers?
Hollis! Hollis, can you think of something? Something to do?
Why ask him, Stimson? I'll tell you something to do. Make it quick, easy. Open the valve on your suit. We're finished, all of us. Who cares? No one's going to cry over me.
And we fell through space, five of us living, each in his orbit of loneliness, moving away from the other. From this outer edge of my life, looking back, there was one remorse, and that only that I wish I could go on living.
All dying people feel that way, Hollis.
What? Stone, I didn't know I was thinking out loud. Funny. As if I'd never lived.
Yeah, I know. I know. Hollis? Hey, Hollis.
What is it?
It's Applegate again.
All right, what?
Let's you and me talk, huh?
Go ahead.
You hate my guts, don't you?
I never thought much about it.
Oh, don't give me that. You and that superior way of yours. I want to tell you something. I was the one who blackballed you with the rocket company 5 years ago. Did you hear me?
I heard you.
Well, how does that make you feel?
Nothing.
You wanted to get to the top all your life, I know. I'll bet you always wondered what happened. Well, it was me. See, I put the black mark on you before I was tossed out myself.
It isn't important.
Well, I had a good time. Yeah, it's a good thing to think about, too. I had a wife on Mars, Venus, one in Jupiter.
So you said, Lesper.
And I'm saying it again. I like to think about it. They all had money, too. Oh, yes, they treated me just fine. You know, once I got drunk and gambled $20,000. $20,000 in one night. Just like that. Oh, it's been a good life.
But you're here now, Lesper. I didn't have any of those things. I was jealous of you, funny little man. How did you rate it? The women, the good times. Women frightened me. And I went into space always wanting them, jealous of you for having them, and money, and as much happiness as man could want. Well, I'm not jealous anymore, though, because it's over for you just the way it is for me. Now it's like it never was. It's all over, Lesper. It just never was. You hear me, Lesper?
Who's that?
It's Hollis. Do you hear me? You're out here, Lesper, falling, dying. It's all over. It's just as if it never happened, isn't it?
No, it happened.
When anything's over, it's just like it never happened. Where's your life any better than mine now, huh? Now's what counts. Is it any better? Is it?
Yes, it's better.
How?
Because I've got my thoughts. Good thoughts. I remember.
Thoughts. What good? What good are they? You gonna be rescued? You gonna live more than a few hours?
I'm resting easy. I've had my turn. I'm not getting vicious at the end. Not like you.
Vicious? Vicious?
Take it easy, Hollis.
I know how you feel, Hollis. I don't take it personally. You're all right. I always thought that.
Hey!
What?
What's the matter?
I can see something.
Stone?
Yeah, I can see lights. They look like lights.
Where?
What?
Where are you?
Must be a ship. Maybe they'll see us. Which way are you going, Stone?
It's light, I tell you. I can see them plain.
Which way? Where are you, Stone? Where?
Guess what?
Huh? What?
Stone?
What is it,
Stone?
What?
I got myself into a meteor swarm, little asteroid.
Meteors?
Yes, I think it's the Myrmidon cluster. You know, Hollis, the one that goes out past Mars and in toward Earth once every 5 years. Well, I'm right in the middle.
Stone! Stone!
It's like a big kaleidoscope. That's what I thought with the lights. All kinds of colors and shapes. Hey, it's beautiful. All that metal. I'm going with them. They're taking me with them. I'll be...
Stone!
So long, Hollis. So long.
Good luck, Stone!
Don't be funny.
I looked. There was nothing. Only the great diamonds and sapphire and emerald mists and velvet inks of space. And then in the sudden calmness of his going, there was a kind of wonder in the thought of Stone going off in the meteor swarm, out past Mars for years, and coming in toward Earth every 5 years, passing in and out for the next million centuries.
Hollis, this is the spare. You all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
I can't hear you so good. You there? Hollis?
This is Hollis. I'm okay. You?
Hollis, there must be something wrong with the phone. Hollis, can you hear me? Say something, will you?
Turn up the booster. Turn up your booster.
Hollis, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Hey, that's fine now, yeah. Oh, I thought you were gone. Who were you talking to?
The Stone.
Hey, who else is around?
Applegate. Applegate.
I'm here.
Stimson. Stimson.
Hey, Stimson. I guess he's gone, too.
Miss Burke, can you see anything?
I wasn't looking. I was thinking. I figure I'll hit Mars. Mars. Wouldn't that be something if I landed in the wife's backyard? She'd get a kick out of that. That's pretty funny, huh?
Is that you, Applegate?
No. I thought it was you.
Hollis?
No, it must be Stimson. Stimson? Stimson!
I want to wake up! Mama! Mama, I want to wake up!
Make him stop, will you?
Stimson!
Shut him up!
Stimson! Stimson, will you listen to me? Now, Stimson, listen to me. Applegate's right. It'll be easier. You open your valve. Open it. Listen to me, Stimson. Open your valve. Now. Do it now. It won't hurt. Only a second, Stimson. Open your valve, Stimson.
Hollis. Applegate.
Yeah.
Has he gone?
I guess so.
Oh. Hey, anybody know what time it is?
Oh, what do you care?
What'd you say? Applegate. The booster's fading. What did you say?
I don't know.
Oh, well, I guess it doesn't matter. Habit, I suppose. You mind if I keep talking? Kinda passes the time.
The goodbyes, voices dying, men dying, the awareness of life, my own. What can I do? Is there anything I can do to make up for a terrible and empty life? If only I could do one good thing to make up for the meanness I collected all these years and didn't even know was in me.
Hollis? Hollis, this is Applegate.
Yes?
Hollis, that was right what you told Stimson to do. I said it to make him feel bad, but you did it right.
I murdered him.
No, you didn't. Listen, Hollis, this isn't good, this thing between you and me. It's a bad way to die. Are you listening, Hollis?
Yes, I'm listening.
I lied. I didn't blackball you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Listening to your talk when you were saying those things to the spare about it not mattering, And he said about you being vicious. Made me ashamed. I've been like that, too.
It's all right. They understand. Can you get LeSpire?
No. No, he was gone an hour ago. Can you hear him?
No. Last thing I heard, he was singing a dirty song.
Quite a guy.
Yeah.
You're fading out.
You too.
What?
I hope everything's okay with you, Applegate. I hope you go to heaven or wherever you want. I hope for you.
You're getting soft, Hollis. Better open your valve. So long.
Take it easy, Applegate.
So long, Hollis. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Applegate! Applegate! So long. Any time now, I'll hit the Earth's atmosphere. I'll burn and be scattered in ashes all over the continental lands. But I'll be put to use. Just a little bit, but ashes are ashes, and they'll add to the land. I wanted to make something of my life. To be liked. To do good for people. To make them happy. Now it's all gone. I wish I could do a good thing. Just something for me to know about. When I hit the atmosphere, I'll burn like a meteor. I wonder if anyone will see me.
Time for bed, Sonny.
Okay. Hey.
Hmm?
Look up there, Mom. A falling star.
I saw it. Make a wish, dear. Make a wish.
Suspense, in which Mr. William Conrad starred in tonight's presentation of Kaleidoscope, written by Ray Bradbury. Next week, the story of two people and the terror that rode with them in the city. We call it Backseat Driver. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis, who adapted tonight's script. The music was composed by Rene Garrigan and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Special technical effects by Robert Chadwick. Featured in the cast were Stacey Harris, Parley Bear, Howard McNear, John Daner, Sam Edwards, Georgia Ellis, and Master Jonathan Ellis. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Suspense on Tuned to Yesterday from July 12, 1955 on CBS, adapting Ray Bradbury's story Kaleidoscope, which first appeared as part of a collection of short stories in 1951 called The Illustrated Man, which also contains some very often adapted stories of his on radio during its golden era, like The Veldt and Zero Hour. It's an hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier, and now on to 2000+ from the Mutual Broadcasting System. We'll go back to October 10th, 1951, and enjoy this broadcast called The Rocket and the Skull.
Out of the night, the rocket, under my knife, the skull.
2000+, science fiction adventures from the world of tomorrow. the years beyond 2000 A.D. 2000 Plus presents The Rocket and the Skull.
Have you heard from Colonel Bradbury yet?
No, sir. I've been trying to for 10 minutes.
We'll try again.
Yes, sir. B for base to R for rocket. B for base to R for rocket. Come in, R for rocket.
Every time Bradbury's more than 5 minutes late, I get the jitters. He's too important for this project not to know where he is every moment.
Yes, sir. B for base to R for rocket. Come in, R for rocket.
Try a scanner beam. He should be on the all-clear level out of Detroit.
Yes, sir. B for base to R for rocket. Come in, R for rocket.
We can't afford to have anything happen to him. The first experiment is being conducted tomorrow morning. Bradbury is the only man who knows every step of the routine.
B for base to R for rocket. Come in, R for rocket.
You're not getting him. Cut the scanner and return to standard beam.
Yes, sir. Come in, R for rocket.
He should have left an hour earlier. Then he could have taken a scheduled flight. But no, he has to work up to the last minute and then fly his own plane to get here in time.
B for base to R for rocket. R for rocket.
B for base. This is R for rocket.
Oh, there he is, sir. Beam contact at 14 over 6. He's about 80 miles out of Detroit.
Give me that mic. Brad, this is General Hilton. Are you receiving me?
Go ahead, General.
What happened? We couldn't contact you.
That's the trouble with my stabilizer. Thought I might have to land. But it's okay now.
Are you sure? We can't have anything happen to you.
Don't worry, sir.
The first experiment is being conducted tomorrow morning. Everything is ready for you.
Good.
The entire general staff will be there. Maybe the president himself. Is there anything you want me to have done before you come in? Brad. Anything you want done. Hello, R for rocket. I'm not getting a response.
B for base to R for rocket. Come in, R for rocket. Funny, sir. He was receiving clear as a bell. Come in, R for rocket.
He said the stabilizer had been acting up. That can mean a lot of trouble at 700 miles an hour. What's that?
Automatic distress signal, sir. Coming from Colonel Bradbury's plane. Hello, Crash Central. This is B for base. Automatic distress signal coming in on channel 420. Colonel Bradbury flying a rocket jet X-93. Take.
It stopped.
B for base to Crash Central. Automatic signal ceased to register at beam contact 16 over 8. Carry out emergency crash procedures. Repeat. Colonel Bradbury's rocket jet X-93 has crashed on beam position 16 over 8. Check out.
I'm glad you were able to get here, General. We're going to operate very shortly.
Doctor, it's a miracle he's alive.
It will be more of a miracle if he's alive 1 hour from now.
You've got to save him. He's an important man.
Yes, the White House called, and so did the Pentagon. We know Colonel Bradbury is important, but a shattered skull is very difficult.
I know you'll do all you can.
Stay right here, General. We'll keep you informed.
It's out of our hands.
I have the report from Crash Central, sir.
Well?
Apparently, Colonel Bradbury used the catapult parachute just before the plane crashed. Otherwise, he would have been killed instantly. When he was catapulted up, his chute didn't open. He fell into a group of trees.
Poor Brad. It might have been better if he'd stayed in the ship. You heard what the doctor said?
Yes, sir.
A shattered skull. The one brain we need to carry out the experiment tomorrow, and this is what happened.
Plan. Sun. Scalpel. Not my brown earth. Plan.
Systolic. 80 over 40. Patient sinking, sir.
More oxygen.
Yes, sir. Patient responding, sir.
Good. Scalpel. Sun. Plan.
Scalpel.
I'm completely
out, Lieutenant. Have you a cigarette?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thanks. Oh, this waiting. Waiting. It's been more than an hour.
Brain surgery is very delicate, sir. May take another hour or even more.
You carried out my orders to postpone the experiment?
Yes, sir, until further notice.
If Brad doesn't live, we'll have to start another man all over. May set the project back a year, and the year could be dangerous. Oh, you look surprised, Lieutenant. You don't know what this experiment's all about, do you?
Well, I see the code name for it on the paper, sir, but it never has a description. After all, it's marked top secret.
Maybe it's about time you were told. With Brad upstairs hanging on to life by a thread, I'm going to need a bright young man to give me some important assistance. You've come through with pretty good colors these last many hours.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we'll talk more about it in a little while. Right now, I'm going to stretch out and try to rest. I'm about done in.
If I hear anything, I'll awaken you, sir.
I don't expect I'll sleep. Not with the fate of the world depending on a surgeon's knife upstairs in the operating room.
Son. Son. Adjust the light, nurse. Scalpel. Probe. Yes, quite a bone fragment. Sponge. Clamp.
Systolic, 70 over 40.
Oxygen again.
It's pure oxygen now, sir.
Nurse, prepare for transfusion.
60 over 40. Patient sinking, sir.
Well, that's right, nurse. Go ahead, Dr. Bowen. Hurry.
Condition same, doctor.
He's getting the transfusion. Let me help you, Dr. Bowen. There. Well?
Systolic. 80 over 40.
Good. He's responding. All right. Scalpel. Probe. Clamp.
Too nervous even to rest. How long has it been?
Almost 2 hours, huh?
2 hours. Just about now, the general staff would be arriving, and Brad would be checking everything for the experiment in the morning. Lieutenant, have you any guess about that experiment, about what it is?
Well, my guess is it's about a new kind of aircraft.
Why do you say that?
Well, that's because it's an Air Force project.
Well, I wouldn't say you were warm, but you aren't cold either. The experiment and the reason it's so important concerns a rocket to the moon.
A rocket to the moon? But why, sir? Why send one there?
Who controls the moon controls the world. If we had rockets on the moon, we could compel peace on Earth. The United Nations would press a button and wipe any aggressor off the face of the Earth.
But that means space travel. You don't mean that we...
No, Lieutenant, we haven't found the way to send rocket ships with human beings through space. Not yet, anyway. But the rocket we're experimenting with is a two-way rocket. It can land on the moon and return from the moon, all electronically controlled from the Earth.
Sounds fantastic, sir.
Oh, it's quite feasible, I assure you. But we have reason to believe that we're not the only nation thinking of this. Time is of the essence. Colonel Bradbury knows more about operating these rockets than any man alive. And just on the verge of the experiment, this has to happen. Shh. Quiet.
General Hilton.
Yes?
Dr. Rizzio asked me to take a message down to you from the operating room.
Brad. He's dead, isn't he?
No, General. He's still hanging on. Dr. Rizzio says that he now has a 30% chance of surviving.
Thank God.
Part of Colonel Bradbury's skull has been fragmented. A head plate will have to be put on. Because of the size of the area, a new metal alloy plate will be used. It will take at least 5 or 6 more hours. Dr. Rizzio suggests you go home, General, where you'll be more comfortable. The hospital will phone you if anything happens.
Out of it. Colonel Bradbury, can you hear me? This is Dr. Rizzio. Nurse, open the blinds a little. Yeah, good. Now ease his back with the pillow. I'll hold him. Fine, thank you. 10 days since the operation, and he's just now coming out of it. He's a strong man. Almost any other person would have died. Colonel Bradbury. Colonel Bradbury, can you hear me?
The base rocket. Our rocket.
He's beginning to talk. Nurse, have Dr. Keyes come in at once.
Stabilizer off. Rocket. General Hilton. Wrong. Something wrong.
It's all right, Colonel. Take it easy.
You call for me. The nurse said he was coming out of it.
He's talking erratically. Typical stuff.
Rocket. Base.
That sort of thing.
Well, it's typical jargon. Air Force lingo.
Mars.
Martians. Martians?
They use all sorts of code names. Mars is probably one of them.
I think in about 48 hours, he ought to be out of shock completely. We can call General Hilton. Tell him to come over day after tomorrow. Take it easy, Colonel. 6 months, and you ought to be in pretty good shape. Nurse, keep him comfortable. Dr. Keyes and I will leave now.
Rocket. Stabilizer off. Wrong. Something wrong. Must call General. Call General Hilton. Mars. Martians. Mars.
Now read that back to me, please. A memorandum to General Staff. 1. The new experiment is tentatively planned for April 3rd, 2000-6. 2. All security measures have been taken. 3. Although severely handicapped by Colonel Bradbury's absence, newly trained specialists will endeavor to fill the gap. Anything more, General?
No, Lieutenant. Sorry, I should say no, Captain. You like that extra bar?
I certainly do, sir.
Well, you've earned it, Bob. You've been a great help to me. Okay, note the memo is top secret and send it facsimile to the Pentagon. Oh, I'll take it. Never mind. General Hilton.
Who?
The President. Oh, yes, Mr. President.
Of course, sir.
Well, I've just prepared a memorandum, but that's only 2 weeks, Mr. President. We assumed about 60 days.
Oh.
Yes, sir. We'll work day and night to do it. Now, thank you, Mr. President. Captain, change the date in the first paragraph of the memo. The new experiment is to take place in 2 weeks.
General, that's almost impossible.
I know it, and you know it. But there's one man who doesn't know it, and he says it's got to be done. I'm not disposed to argue with the President of the United States.
I'd like to double-check some of my notes on Colonel Bradbury with you.
Of course, Doctor.
Now, this afternoon, the General's coming to see him.
But Colonel Bradbury, he needs months of convalescence. And he's not too lucid.
Now, that's the point. He's not too lucid, but weak as he is, he talks normally for a while, makes sense. And then that strange reaction sets in. I've observed it myself 3 times.
Well, head injury cases are quite unpredictable. Yes,
perhaps, but according to my notes, Colonel Bradbury's strange reaction has taken place always either at 10 a.m. or 5 p.m., of the 3 instances I've observed, 2 have been at 10, 1 at 5.
Well, that is unusual.
And in each instance, well, I can see him now in my mind's eye. He's sitting or lying in bed, talking quite sensibly, although in a weak voice. Suddenly he becomes tense. He grimaces as if his head were in pain. He even clutches the bedclothes with tight fists. He appears to be rigid. Then, after a few minutes, invariably comes a flood of disjointed, disconnected sentences about messages, emergency, crisis, fate of the world, and Mars. Now, General Hilton is going to visit the Colonel this afternoon at about 5 o'clock.
And you expect the Colonel to have another strange reaction?
I don't know.
Well, surely General Hilton realizes that a man who's had severe surgery
can't tell what the General will realize, but my fear is that he may feel the Colonel is not improving as well as he might, and he may call in other doctors.
But we're doing everything humanly possible.
That is the irony of the situation. I could have killed the Colonel in surgery. It would have been very easy. But where important government officials are concerned, I get worried. If we ever were investigated carefully, they might find out who you and I really are. And that would be dangerous. Very dangerous indeed.
In here. Thank you, nurse.
Hello, Brad.
Hello, General.
A understand you wanted to see me. I came as soon as I could.
Sit down.
Sure, Brad. Don't worry about me. Brad, we're rescheduling the experiment. Do you feel up to answering a few questions about it?
Experiment. Something to tell you.
Sure, Brad, sure. I know there's a lot you want to tell me, but well, you're still a sick guy, so... Suppose I just ask you a few questions and you answer them yes or no. That'll save your energy.
Time? What time is it?
Why, it's a few seconds before 5 o'clock. Why?
Coming. Message coming.
Message coming? What message?
Trying to tell you. Couldn't tell anyone else. Mars. Martians.
Mars? Martians? Trying to tell me what? Brad, for heaven's sake, what's the matter, Brad?
Nurse! Doctor! Something's happening to Colonel Bradbury! Hurry! Hurry!
Scanos! Dr. Riccio, can you hear me?
Mars!
General Hilton is here, too. You remember? And, Fire General, strange things happen to the human mind. His skull is a metal plate.
Mars. Calling Mars. Earth. Calling Mars.
Method.
It's like a fit. Look at him.
Date reporting. Earth. Calling Mars. You are received. Mars receiving your call. Proceed.
Colonel Bradbury. Colonel. A nurse will try a hypo. Get one for me, please.
Moon experiment will take place in 12 Earth days.
Experiment.
Thank you, nurse. Mm-hmm. Now I'll inject. There. You should relax in a moment.
Bradbury incapacitated. Government has ordered experiment to proceed. Here are your further orders. The experiment must fail.
No.
You are to be certain that all tests are taken.
There. The hypo has released his tension. He'll sleep now. He'll be all right when he awakens.
Yes, but what happened to him, Doctor?
I'm not certain, General, but in a few days, we may be able to tell more.
I know you're doing everything possible, Doctor, and we're grateful for your saving Brad's life. But mightn't it be wise to call in some specialists, some other doctors for consultation? There's so much information and advice we need from Colonel Bradbury.
Call in other doctors?
Well, General, I don't know that that's necessary. It's so strange watching him, almost as if he were listening to something. You know, now that I think of it, he did say something about a message. Do you think there's any connection?
I hardly think so, General. After all, we didn't hear anything.
No, no. I'm afraid it was just the erratic talk of a sick and injured brain.
General, you really went through an experience watching the Colonel like that.
Captain, he was almost in a fit. Had some crazy idea he was getting messages.
Messages?
Just hallucinations. He was off his rocker for a while. I'm afraid I was a little brusque with Dr. Riccio. He's a fine man, but I'd feel better if some other medicos looked at Brad, too. Arrange for some specialist from Army Medical to examine him, will you, Captain?
Yes, sir. I'll do it promptly.
And one thing more. On the experiment file, you'll find it.
General Hilton's office? One moment, please. For you, sir. Pentagon, intelligence section.
Intelligence? Well. Hello? General Hilton? Yes? Yes? Are you certain? Well, have the President and the Chief of Staff been informed? Good. Yes, I'll be over in 15 minutes. Right. Order my car, Captain. Things are happening.
Yes, sir. General Hilton's car, stand by at west entrance. What things, sir?
Intelligence reports that the Eastern Alliance is definitely planning a moon rocket for blastoff in 6 days. You know what that means if they get there before the United Nations.
6 days, and we won't be ready for 14 days. We really wanted 3 months.
That's right.
But how?
Somehow they must have found out about our experiment and have agents that feed some of our vital data. That's what the emergency meeting is about.
Well, your car's ready, General. Good luck.
We're going to need it, Captain. We're going to need it.
Keyes. Dr. Keyes. Have you heard?
What is it?
Some other doctors are examining Colonel Bradbury. Yes, I just met them.
What?
Of course, I gave them permission. I had no choice. General Hilton requested it yesterday.
Who are they?
That's just it. Army medical. Army.
How you can be so cold and calculating in surgery and so nervous now, I cannot understand. Your record here is flawless. Your operation on Bradbury is superb. No suspicion will attach to you or to me. If we conduct ourselves in a normal, professional manner, what is the risk?
But they are the Army. Now, that means an intelligence section. They have routines about these things.
We have no choice but to keep up appearances.
I know. But if they ever find out that we are the agents of the Eastern Alliance, that we have masterminded the theft of certain moon rocket data, they will be ruthless, Dr. Cheese. Ruthless.
General Hilton's office. Oh, I'm sorry, the general isn't here. This is his aide. No, sir, I don't know when he'll return. I suggest you place the information on our private facsimile line in code. Our extension is 83. I'll then give the papers to the general when he arrives. Yes, sir, I'll turn the facsimile line on now, sir. We can receive it at once. Thank you. Regarding Colonel Bradbury. Item one. Good heavens, Dr. Reggio. Item two. A metal plate surgically applied to Colonel Bradbury's skull. A metal skull plate. Martian voices. So that's what the Colonel's hallucinations are. Fantastic. There, the message is ended. Very quickly. Military police. Hello, General Hilton's office. At Central Hospital, there are two staff doctors, Dr. Reggio and Dr. Keyes. Right. Place them under arrest at once. Hello? Message headquarters, please. This is General Hilton's aide. When the general returns, tell him I'll be at Central Hospital talking to Colonel Bradbury. I'm the general's aide. You can describe the voices to me. Now, what happened?
My whole head vibrates. Very painful. Then I hear voices.
What do they say?
They're talking to Mars. Martians.
Well, apparently the metal plate on your head somehow picks up certain high-frequency radio waves. At least that's the theory of the Army medical examiner.
But the Martians, they want to stop the moon rocket. Enemies from another world.
No, Colonel, you can't really believe that. You must have misunderstood. The real enemies are the Eastern Alliance. But their agents have been caught. Their moon project won't take place for a long time as a result. Now, you just take it easy, sir. The Army is going to track down that wavelength that bothers your head. Then you'll recuperate peacefully.
But, Captain... True.
Excuse me, sir. It's almost 5 o'clock. I've got to be going, sir. Just take it easy, please. To Mars on the regular wavelength at 5 o'clock. Hereafter, use the alternate wavelength. I will submit a report explaining how our communications were discovered. But you can report this. The Eastern Alliance agents have been captured by the Americans. This reduces the chances of the Earth sending a moon rocket from 2 to only 1. I will see to it that that 1 does not succeed.
Are you positive you can execute this plan?
Without question.
Go on.
You may report to my superiors on Mars that their observation base on the moon is safe from discovery. Mars will continue to be the only planet controlling outer space. That is all.
It shall be reported.
Captain, I just read that facsimile message in my office. Came as quickly as I could. Now, what on earth is happening?
Why, nothing on earth is happening, General.
Now, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, everything's all right now, sir, isn't it? The Eastern Alliance has been taken care of, and there's reason to believe Colonel Bradbury's weird hallucinations won't recur anymore.
Oh, those are the two best pieces of news I've heard all day. Captain, I don't know what I'd do without you.
Thank you, sir. I just try to do the best I can for my country.
Next week, another exciting adventure from the world of tomorrow, from the years beyond 2000 A.D. Be sure to listen. 2000 Plus is produced by Dreyer and Winolson Productions, Incorporated. In today's cast, Arnold Robertson portrayed General Hilton, Bill Griffiths was his lieutenant, Gregory Morton was Dr. Riggio, Nat Poland was Colonel Bradbury, and Merrill Jones was Dr. Keyes.
Feature was transcribed.
Plus on Tuned to Yesterday from October 10th, 1951 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that wraps this hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the Golden Age of Radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. It's been a pleasure.